And thank you so much, Ben. Hello, everybody. I hope we've been enjoying the sun. I, for one, it's been a bit hot and sweaty, hasn't it? Anyone managed to go for a sea swim yet? Nice. Yeah, I had my first one the other day. But yeah, it's lovely to be here. As Ben said, this is my first service. So what a way to be welcomed in to speak with you guys this morning. But I've been a part of sort of the network of churches here in Brighton and Hove on and off for the last 13 years of my life. And at the same time, I've lived in Brighton for about that time as well. And that's also how long I've been following Jesus and had a relationship with him. Because I initially came to Brighton as a 19-year-old, and I came for uni, and I had no intention of church or God, but he had other ideas. And so, yeah, I met with Jesus and gave my life to him, and he changed my life, and he continues to change my life every day. And so my hope and my prayer this morning is that we can all draw a little bit closer to him in some way. And so, yeah, I'm going to be, I think, continuing a series on Ephesians. That's right. Fantastic. So, yeah, we're going to be looking at one of my favorite chapters in Ephesians, which is Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. I'm going to read it. It's going to be on the screen. You can grab that old thing called a Bible, if you like, as well. Fantastic. We love to see it. Paper, book as well. And yeah, it goes a little something like this. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know that this love, that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout generations, forever and ever. Amen. And so as I was praying and preparing for this talk this morning, the first thing that really struck me about this passage and this prayer which Paul is praying to the church in Ephesus, the Ephesian church, which is also actually a prayer for the church today, and you and me are the church. So this passage is a prayer for us. But as I was studying this and preparing, I was really struck and really taken aback that when Paul prays for the church in this passage, he doesn't pray for anything external. You know, when he's praying for the church, he doesn't pray for the stuff that the church was doing, their activity. He doesn't pray for the services that they're putting on. He doesn't pray for the preachers that they're preaching. He doesn't pray for the evangelism or the generosity or the work or vocation. He doesn't pray for anything external that the church does. Rather, his prayer for the church, whilst on his knees before the Father, was a prayer for the church's internal transformation. It was for our hearts, for our minds, and for our spirits. And this really challenged me, because when I think about my own prayer life, to be honest, that's not what it reflects. You know, most of the time, my prayers are often about myself, are about the things that I want. You know, my prayers are often about external things or external changes. And I think I do that because often my hope of contentment, that hope of peace, happiness, joy, fulfillment is often, I think, tied to those external factors. You know, it's often attached to the job that I have or the money I'm making, to relationships, to what I have or what I don't have, or because of the situations that are going on around me or that I'm experiencing. Whereas I wonder, you know, according to Ephesians 3, according to Paul's prayer, that perhaps that fulfillment that I'm looking for, that we're looking for and should be praying for, isn't actually dependent on external things, but rather on internal transformation. Which is often the case with Jesus. You know, when I'm so concerned by what's going on externally, more often than not, he's interested in what's going on for me internally. And that makes sense, right? Because this is the gospel. You know, in the Old Testament, God's presence dwelt in a tabernacle and in a temple. You know, the way that we access God was via a specific place. God's presence dwelt somewhere externally. But because of Jesus and for the price that he paid for us on the cross, he gave us his presence, which now dwells within us internally. You know, the Bible says that now we are temples of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul is praying for in this passage. This is what it means for us. He's praying for this internal transformation, which is what I want to unpack with us this morning, starting with the first point of Paul's prayer, which is that we would be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul prays in verses 14 to 17, he prays, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And so as I was praying about this and thinking about this, you know, what does it look like for us to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit? Like, in reality, what does that mean? And I think, firstly, actually, to access the Holy Spirit's strength, it often starts with us acknowledging our need for his strength. And in acknowledging our need, therefore, sometimes we have to acknowledge our weakness. And I think that this can be a challenge for us, especially because in the society that we live in, I think subconsciously we all live with this pressure that we've got to have it all together. And so because of that, sometimes we find it uncomfortable admitting that we don't. And for me personally, in my first sort of 10 years of following Jesus, me myself, I actually couldn't get away from my need for Jesus. I couldn't get away from my need for the Holy Spirit's strength, because I would describe kind of my life in those 10 years, to use a little bit of Christianese, so we will, as either being on the mountaintop or either being in the valley and in the pit. Or sometimes I was in both of those places at the same time. And you know, when I talk about these mountaintop moments, like God took me on an adventure in those 10 years. I moved 17 times in those 10 years. He took me to these amazing communities and churches where I experienced more of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit, and experienced these incredible communities where there was such a hunger for God's kingdom. And also God opened all these doors and opportunities to do these amazing things that were completely out of my comfort zone. And so therefore, I really needed him. And at the same time, amongst all of that, I experienced these valleys and these pits where I really was struggling with my mental health, where I'd feel really low, where I was having to kind of face stuff from my past that was difficult, some unforgiveness and things like that. And so, you know, in that place, on the mountaintops and the valleys, I needed Jesus. Those places made me run to him. Those places made me run to the Holy Spirit for strength. I needed him on the mountaintops, and I really needed him in the valleys. But if I'm honest, the last 2 years of my life, they've looked a little bit different. You know, I've neither really experienced much mountaintops or valleys. I've not really experienced any real high highs or low lows. You know, things have been steady. They've been comfortable, dare I say mundane at times. But in that steadiness, that's actually where I found it a lot harder to need the strength of the Holy Spirit. I found it harder to make sure that I spend time with him, to depend on him. And in that, I found that I'm able to kind of live my life off of fumes of the Holy Spirit, to kind of live on dregs of the Holy Spirit, and actually to be able to just kind of get by in my own strength. But the fact is that even in the steadiness, boy, do I still need the Holy Spirit's strength. And this can be a, you know, challenge for us wherever we are. Maybe you're like me, that when you're out of your comfort zone or you're experiencing tough things, maybe it's then that you lean on the strength of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you're different. It's actually in those places that you don't seek the Holy Spirit. Actually, you seek other comforts to try and deal with those things, or you try and deal with that stuff in your own control and your own strength. But, you know, the Christian life that we're invited to of following Jesus is an invitation not to live by our flesh, not to live by our own strength, by our own ways, but by the Spirit, which is what Paul is praying for in this passage. But to do that, we have to recognize our need for him. We have to sometimes come face to face with our sin, you know, where we've turned away from God, which can be uncomfortable because maybe we've spent so much time trying to ignore these things, using external stuff to soothe and comfort us, or, you know, taking control ourselves. But I've found in my walk with Jesus that the closer I get to him, the less I can avoid those weaknesses. The closer I get to Jesus, the more I have to face my need for him. And he doesn't do that because he's wanting to have a go at me or he's wanting me to feel shame or guilt. There's no condemnation in Christ. But he does that so that I can experience the strength of his Holy Spirit, so that I can experience the fullness of his grace, of his healing, of his love, and all that he's paid for us on the cross. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me." And this is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, of his strength. The Holy Spirit's favorite thing is always to lead us to Jesus. As Paul prays in this passage, "so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And that word "dwell" that he uses can be translated in the Greek to permanent home, or where someone settles down, or homeowner. And so what Paul is praying for us is that Jesus would be the homeowner of our hearts. And, you know, I think this is why Jesus helps us to recognize our need, our sin, our weaknesses, because often those are rooms in our hearts that we haven't let him into. You know, these are often rooms in our lives that maybe we've confined from him, that we've kind of put a guard up. But the thing is that Jesus wants those rooms. He wants to get in those rooms. In fact, he actually wants the whole flipping house. He wants to be the homeowner. He wants to be the Lord and the leader over the sin and the things in our lives that resists his leadership. And it is through the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit that we allow Jesus to dwell, that we allow him to become the homeowner of our hearts. And so Paul's first prayer for us, the church, me and you, is that we would be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit. And how we access this is firstly by recognizing our need for him daily and adopting this prayer for our own lives. And then it is through the power of the Holy Spirit that we allow Jesus to be the homeowner of our hearts, which leads us to this internal transformation that Paul is praying for. So that's the first thing. Secondly, deep breath. Paul prays that we would understand Christ's love for us. He says, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all of the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge." So another part of this internal transformation that Paul prays for is what we are rooted and established in. So this word "rooted" kind of gives us this picture and reflects, you know, a tree that has its roots deep, deep down in the soil so that when the wind or storm comes, it cannot be shaken or moved. And the word "established," or in some translations it says "grounded in love," reflects that of like a building that's built upon a solid foundation. Because this is what Christ's love does for us. It roots us and it grounds us upon a foundation that cannot be shaken. And it's a bit like the parable that Jesus teaches in Matthew 7. You know the one about the guy who builds his house upon a rock? We might know the song. But his love takes where we've built our lives on sinking sand, and his love puts us back on the rock. And this is what I've experienced in my own life. You know, I've mentioned before that I've had struggles with my mental health, that I've gone through times in my life where I've just felt low all the time and had to address past pain or lies that I've believed. But it was in that place where Jesus came close. You know, the Bible says that Jesus is close to the brokenhearted. It was there that he came close with his love and his comfort, and he met me in those places. He took what was shaken ground in my life, where there had been experiences where I hadn't maybe felt the love that I needed, or where I'd felt a loss of love. And his perfect love came close and it brought healing to that. and that healing rooted and established me back into him. He took what was shaken sand and he put me on the rock. And you know, maybe for some of us, you know, maybe we've been Christians and following Jesus for a while, or we've been coming to church, and you know, that's really a part of our routine. And maybe this message, you know, that Jesus loves you, or you know, this message of Christ's love is one we hear a lot. And sometimes we've heard it so much that if we're really being honest, we can kind of roll our eyes and be like, yeah, I get it. I've heard it before. Jesus loves me. Give me a new message. I want something deeper than that. We've all been there sometimes. But the thing is why I think Jesus' love is so important, and it's why he always brings us back to his love. He wants to always point us back to that place and to his love, is because whatever we're going through, whatever we're facing, it is his love that he wants us to have revelation of in that. It's his love that he wants us to experience in that. He wants us to experience his love because that is what leads us to healing, to freedom. It is his love that he wants us to know. You know, he wants us to know and grasp how wide, how long, high and deep his love is for us. You know, how wide his love is. His love is so wide, it covers us like a river and like an ocean over every circumstance in our life, over every single person that walks this earth. His love is so long that in John 1, it says that Jesus was the Word at the beginning. He was there before creation began, before you were born. And he has made a way for us now that we could be with him face to face in eternal life forever. So if you're wondering how long has Jesus loved you, he's loved you before the beginning in time, and he will love you into eternal life forever. His love is so deep that in Philippians 2, 7 to 8, it says, Jesus, rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, Jesus loved you so much that he went to the depths of death and the worst suffering possible just for the chance that you might say yes back. Just for the chance that you might love him back and know his love and know his forgiveness. You can't get much deeper than that. His love is so high that in Ephesians 2, 6, it says that now Christ is risen. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, where he is praying for you 24/7. And it says that now we are seated there with him in heavenly places. His love is high and above all things. You know, Christ's love is available and tangible for us to know and to measure, as well as his love being beyond our knowledge. This is kind of the wild thing about Jesus, right? His love both goes beyond our understanding, but yet in his kindness, he's made his love available so that we can understand it and can experience it. And I wonder, you know, if Paul prays for us to grasp how much Jesus loves us, not just because it's his love that leads to that internal transformation, but because he knows that our understanding of Christ's love is an area that the enemy wants to disrupt and destroy. You know, the enemy's mission is to draw all people away from Jesus. His mission in our lives is to try and undermine our faith and undermine our belief that Jesus is who he says he is. He wants us to question Christ's love for us. You know, we see that in Genesis when he speaks to Adam and Eve. He comes in and he says, hey, did God really say that? And he wants to do that. He wants to make us question God because he knows that if we don't fully believe in who Jesus is and his love for us, then often we're going to go and try and fill that void of love elsewhere. And more often than not, it's probably with things that he's trying to tempt us with that it's not going to be good for us or lead us back to Jesus. And you know what? If the enemy can affect our faith and our belief, then therefore it will affect our trust in Jesus. And therefore it will then affect our willingness to surrender our lives to him. Because the enemy knows. He knows that in surrendering our lives to Jesus, it's there that we experience the fullness of God that Paul is praying about in this passage. In Matthew 16, 25, Jesus says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. You know, the fullness of life, the fullness of God is found when we lose our lives for Jesus. when we live in that inner transformation that Paul is praying about in this passage, surrendered to the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, allowing Jesus to lead us and dwell in our hearts, rooted and established in his love. You know, the fullness of life is at the end of our surrender. Just like Paul in this passage, posturing our life with our knees on the ground before the Father, it's in that posture here that we experience this promise that we can have a life beyond all we could imagine or request. Because I've found that when I take my life into my own hands, it does not compare to when I lay my life in his. And you know what? The truth is following Jesus can be costly. You know, it might not be that his way is easier. It might be that following Jesus doesn't let me bypass tough situations or sin that I've tried to ignore. But in all of that, his way is still way, way better. You know, my way, honestly, just leads me to internal ickiness, whereas his way leads us to internal transformation. His way leads us to life that is beyond all we can imagine, full of his presence, full of his grace, forgiveness, peace, and love. And so as I close, I wanted to leave us with some questions and reflections, which I think are going to come on the screen, because I'm talking about internal transformation, and sometimes we just hear it, but sometimes it's worth taking time to bring questions to Jesus in prayer or the Holy Spirit, because when we do that, we're then participating with the Holy Spirit to engage with that internal transformation. And so I'm going to leave them up on the screen. Feel free if you want to take a picture of it or write it down. But these questions are, firstly, where in my life am I relying on my own strength? Secondly, where in my life can I surrender control to Jesus? And lastly, what areas of my life does Jesus want to root and establish me in his love? So that's something, maybe if you want to do that this morning or later this week, you can take time to pray that through and hear what Jesus wants to say. But as I finish, I thought, why don't we take this passage, and it is a prayer, so I'm going to pray it over us. So if you want to join me in prayer now. Father, I pray that out of your glorious riches, you may strengthen us with power through your Holy Spirit in our inner beings, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that us, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And we would know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we all ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever.